Good morning, and welcome to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori on this Saturday morning. How are we doing this morning? So glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning right here on WLIW 88.3 FM Southampton, serving Eastern Long Island and Southern Connecticut, 96.9 in Western Suffolk, and streaming at wliw.org/radio and on your favorite streaming platforms. Each show is archived on my website at annliguori.com and distributed on my podcast on Audioboom and iTunes. I am very excited to tell you about the Stand Up and Play Foundation, a nonprofit organization that works to make active standing therapy a reality for those with mobility challenges. For veterans and others who are paralyzed, this foundation connects them to opportunities to learn and continue to play golf and do other sports and activities. Most important, it provides hope for those who are disabled. There are vehicles out there, namely the VertiCat, an innovative all-terrain mobility rider for paralyzed and challenged walkers, which actually feature cutting-edge technology and engineering prowess and allows the rider a sit-to-stand, zero-friction experience. Now, the VertiCat is noted for its unique ability to elevate golfers into a standing position, which facilitates a more natural swing and offers a multitude of advantages for mobility-challenged athletes. Its introduction marks a significant stride in accessibility and inclusivity within the realm of adaptive sports, exemplifying the unwavering commitment of its creators to empower individuals with diverse abilities. Now, this vehicle was co-developed by Anthony Netto, who founded the Stand Up and Play Foundation. Anthony's story will amaze and inspire you. He's a master golf instructor, a retired military veteran from South Africa. He was paralyzed from the waist down in 1991 in the military, and then 5 years later was hit by a drunk driver, which caused further complications. Anthony has not let any of these physical limitations slow him down. He works tirelessly to support veterans and others who are paralyzed to connect them to ways to live a more fulfilled, happy, active life. You'll hear Anthony's story in this morning's show. Karen Atkinson will also join me. Karen's story is equally remarkable. She is an Army Captain Reserve, a JAG officer, an attorney, and board member of the Stand Up and Play Foundation. She also works tirelessly to educate the disabled about opportunities to do so many things like swimming, golfing, skiing, scuba diving, activities that support those who are physically and mentally challenged to get out of the house and do things, live more of a normal life. I hope their stories will educate and inspire you and give you and or a loved one suffering from a physical challenge hope. Welcome to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, and my guest is Karen Atkinson, Army Captain Reserve, a JAG officer, attorney, and board member of the Stand Up and Play Foundation, a nonprofit organization that works to make active standing therapy a reality for those with mobility challenges. Welcome to Sports Interview, Karen.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you on the show, and boy, what a great background you have. It's quite diverse. And well, let's start with your career in the military, if you will. Can you tell me about your decorated military career?
Absolutely. I spent 20 full years in the reserves. Loved every minute of it. I was able to, as a JAG officer, we went out and helped the people who were deploying in order to make sure that they had all their wills, powers of attorney, any legal matters that they had to deal with. And so we were always the people that were there to help them. So that was good. The other part of what we did was kick people out for drug trust failures. So it was an interesting mix of things that we were able to do.
So you went into the military as an attorney?
No, I actually went into the military as a 17-year-old. I did 10 years as a medical service person that checks you into the emergency room, handled medical records and those types of things while I was in school. When I finished law school, that's when I asked to be a JAG officer.
And what exactly is a JAG officer?
It's just an attorney for the military. You can either represent people that are in the military, you can represent work for the unit commanders, or work for the military directly. So you're working for the military, but you have a different mix of clients as to who you serve.
And so you served in Desert Storm, is that right?
That's correct. Yes, I was deployed in support of Desert Storm.
Wow, tell me about that.
We actually went, we were deployed right before Christmas time in 1990. And then in the 91 January, we went to Germany, and my unit was out of Wisconsin. It was a large reserve unit, and what they did was they took it apart and sent all the individuals to the different hospitals in Germany. And we supported as the troops were injured and needed to go home or needed to be treated and returned, they would come to Germany because we did not have that hospital infrastructure set up in the Middle East yet. So we could only do emergency type procedures there. And so they would bring everyone from Saudi Arabia to Germany in order to treat them for anything major.
And so, how long were you there?
I was there about 6 months.
And then what happened when you got back?
I went back to school and went and continued with my life in the reserves and continued to get my undergrad degree and then applied for law school and just continued on.
So now you've always been an athlete, right?
I've always been active. I wouldn't say, I wasn't the star basketball player or anything like that, but I've always been active. I was raised on a farm, and you don't sit around. You don't do nothing. You have to keep moving. You move forward every day.
And so fast forward to June 2014, you were injured in an automobile accident.
That's correct. Yes. I was driving, and suddenly the next thing I remember, I was in the hospital being told that I would never walk again.
Wow.
So it was very life-changing in just a flash of a second.
Were you hit by a drunk driver or?
No, it was just just a lapse in judgment. Someone had crossed the center line, and I went off the road. I moved to avoid them and went off the road.
Wow, that's crazy. So, you woke up as an incomplete paraplegic, is that correct?
That's correct.
Can you explain what that is to my listeners in case they're not aware?
Absolutely. If you are a complete paraplegic, it means that you have no movement or feeling below your level of injury. So I'm a T12, which was about waist level. And so that means that if I was complete, I would have no movement below my waist. I do. So I'm fortunate. I'm a lot luckier than a lot of people in my situation because I do have full use of my torso and use of my legs almost to my knees.
So, what was life like at that point for you?
I had some dark times. It was very scary. Everything that changes in the flash of a second. So it's hard to deal with, and it's hard to grasp. So it took a long time, and it took some bad days, but I got through it, and I was able to realize that my life has changed. It's not over.
And you were in your 40s, right, at this point?
Thank you. No, I'm 53.
No, but at that point,
Yes, I was 42 when that happened. Yes.
that's what I remember you telling me.
Yes.
So, when and how did you discover the world of adaptive sports?
About 4 years ago, I started to, I just started to realize that I needed to get more active. It just wasn't, my life was not what I wanted it to be. And so I found a program for adaptive sailing, and I applied for it, and I thought, I can do this. So I went and I did it, and it was amazing to just get out of my house, to get out of my, off the couch, out of my wheelchair. And for me, my life ends at the pavement. Living in the wheelchair, my chair will only go where it's paved. So for me to get off of the pavement, onto the water, under the water, into the water, anything, you know, onto the snow. It just any place that I could not go if someone had not created specialized equipment for me to go there.
So how did you get involved with the sailing?
It's a program that is a nonprofit that does learn to sail programs for veterans. And I just happened to find it. It was here in St. Pete. They've moved most of the operations to Charleston, South Carolina now, but they were right here in St. Pete, and so I was able to go as a last minute addition. So I didn't have time to think about it too much. I was able to just make the decision to go and go.
That must have been incredible, like a whole world, as you say, just opened up just like that.
Absolutely. It was amazing to be able to like get out of my chair and be able to do something that, you know, normal people do. It was just amazing to be able to feel like I was a part of that crew. We worked on three person sonars. They're like 20 feet long. And so it's a very small boat. Everybody on the crew is a part of the crew. You have to, you know, you have to be doing your job or the sailboat isn't going to go. So you can't be a passenger. You have to actually do, you know, you have to actually do the work. And I was able to do the work that everybody else could do, and it made me feel like I could accomplish more. You know, there are things that I can do that don't require my legs.
And you're out on the sea, so that in itself is such a feeling of freedom and exuberance, right?
Absolutely. That is the best part about it is, like I said, getting out of my chair, getting to a location that I would never have been at.
And what about scuba diving?
Scuba diving, I started that. I guess it was 2 years ago. I found a program that also trains disabled veterans. So they have extra volunteers that are able to help because you know, disabled people need can't just have one buddy. They need an additional people to help in case there's an emergency. So I had a local dive shop lady that was just amazing. She was had all the patience in the world because I don't like water up my nose. And I knew part of passing the test is taking your mask off underwater. So for me, and not being able to get my body in the right position because my legs don't work, that was terrifying to me. But she, you know, she was aware of my situation. She knew what my issues were, and she just had all the patience in the world that she needed to deal with somebody with specialized issues.
That's amazing. And your upper body must be so strong, right?
Yes. Yes, that actually last week at the National Ability Center, I what we did was we did this ropes course, which is 45 feet in the air, and I took with a pulley system, pulled myself up to the top of that tower.
Oh my God.
So I got 2/3 of the way up there, and I thought, you know, I could use somebody else to help, but by that time I was almost there.
So you got all the way to the top?
I did.
Congratulations. That's amazing. I
Thank
love
you.
it. Gosh, I remember when I was in junior high and tried to climb a rope to the top. I did, but I did not look down because I was terrified. But it takes a lot of upper body strength for sure. And you're also a skier.
Yes, I started skiing a couple of years ago and finally to the point where I feel confident skiing in a monoski, which is a device where you're essentially sitting on a something about the size of a folding chair on that's mounted to one ski
Wow.
as opposed to the, you know, it's a normal 4-inch wide ski that regular people use. However, I only have one of them and my entire body is poised upon one of those, and I have to balance that way.
That's hard. How do you train for that?
You have your own coach and a volunteer, and they pick you up a lot of times.
Are all these sports a part of, your work with Move United, or are they all separate groups?
These are all separate groups. A lot of organizations are Move United member organizations because they do help with both finding you the people to come. They help provide like liability insurance for the organization if they're a partner organization. There's a lot of benefits to being a Move United partner, and some of them are, but not all of them. So a lot of the things that I do are predated my Move United, me being a warfighter ambassador. So I've only been doing that since January.
I think that's awesome. A war fighter ambassador for Move United. What does that mean?
Move United is one of the largest funders of adaptive sports in the U.S. Again, they have partnered organizations pretty much in almost every state. I think there's like two that we still don't have organizations in, but we're working on that. So the goal is to have adaptive sports within 50 miles of every disabled person so that everyone has the ability to participate in some type of adaptive sport. It may not be the one you want, but you'll be able to do something. If it's archery or table tennis or paddleball, anything, anything that you could want to do, anybody who wants to make sure that disabled people can do it, it's an adaptive activity.
And you were recently involved in the National Mobilities Conference.
Yes, I went. I attended that. It was amazing to learn about the all of the new equipment that I don't even know about. That allows people. You can have blind people playing baseball. I mean, just the idea. I mean, I know that blind folks can sail and can play golf, but the idea that they can play baseball is just phenomenal. Is just not letting anything stop you. If you want to participate in a story or in a you know in a in an activity, then I can help you do that. So
You
it's
connect,
I
and as part of an ambassador, you connect adaptive athletes to Move United.
correct, right. What I do oftentimes, like I will go to an event where people have not heard of Move United, or just not everyone has heard of Move United. Like I went, the Maine Adaptive did a Veterans No Boundaries event about 3 weeks ago, and I went there as the Move United ambassador. So I help people sign up for the activities, find activities, and they also do like sports grants. Like if you need adaptive equipment, they do grants for that equipment. So in order to help you get, like if you need a bike and you can't get it any other way, you can ask for a grant in order to get a recumbent bike or a hand bike or something that you need that fits your needs.
So I think it would just be a matter of perhaps veterans learning about these opportunities and, being educated about what's out there, right?
Right. And that's why I do what I do, because I spent 6 years being injured as a veteran. And because I was injured after I served, I didn't have that like veteran community, come in and embrace me. I was sort of out of my own. I was already retired. And so I had to do the work to discover what's available. Nobody brought it to me. I had to find it. And so for me, my passion now is to make sure that nobody else has those 6 years. I don't want anyone else to feel the way that I felt and not know that you're able to do the things that are possible. I love to tell the story. I was at winter sports a couple of years ago, and I love to tell the story about making a Marine cry by telling him that he can golf again. I mean,
Wow.
he said he had shut off that part of his life, and when I told him I was going to be learning how to play golf, I showed him the VertiCat. He was so overwhelmed that he was just emotional that, it's such an important part of his life that he now knows he can have back. And just getting out there, and it's funny because that Marine is he was actually with me at the golf event a couple of weeks ago, and just the sheer joy of being on the grass. Again, our life ends at the pavement. When the pavement ends, we say goodbye. We wait there for you guys to come back, and that's where we sit. But the VertiCat makes it possible not just to go out onto the golf course and to be with our friends. We could do that with a golf cart. You can sit in the golf cart and ride along. But I get to be a participant. I get to hit that ball. Not very well, but I can hit that ball. And that to me is everything. I am now an equal part of this foursome.
So golf, you made this connection to golf, and you are now a board member for the incredible Stand Up and Play Foundation. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. I was fortunate enough at the Legends Golf Course last year, the fundraiser event that took place, I was the recipient of the VertiCat. And when I went down there for that event, I met Anthony and Angelica, and they were truly just blown away by the idea that what the things I had done, as far as like I had found a way to help other veterans get the VA to buy the VertiCats for them. I have started a Facebook group to try to bring veterans two adaptive sports opportunities. And after I had talked to them about all the things that I had done in order to try to help, you know, here's what we can do to bring your device to veterans. They realized that I was passionate about these ideas, and that they thought that I would be a good fit to put on the board.
And you are a great fit. And thank you for all the work that you do, for sure. It's just very inspirational and so meaningful. It's such meaningful work. How important is this mission for you, Karen?
It's everything. It's what I want to do now. I just know that other people need the sense of community that I get from adaptive sports and activities. It doesn't, like, I talk to people and they say, oh, I just had my neck fused, or I just had this done. Well, you don't have to win the archery tournament. You don't have to be the best shot. You don't have to be really good at wheelchair pickleball. You just have to show up and meet the other people, the other veterans who you didn't know are going through the same thing that you're going through every day. We face the same struggles. And if you don't know, if you still feel like you're the only one, you're not going to recover. You're not going to recover from whatever it is that you need to heal. And you're not going to do it alone.
I can only imagine, after such a life-changing, life-altering experience, that, you know, there's just a dark cloud that, you know, it's so difficult to see any light at the end of the tunnel, because you're so focused on dealing with the disability, and, you know, physically and emotionally and mentally, that you perhaps don't even open your eyes to the very possibilities out there.
It is so true. If you can only get through the day, you can't make plans to go do something fun next week. You have to be able to, you know, to be able to deal with your own struggles in order to get to that next place. And that's the hardest part, is to take that step.
Now, what are the challenges of your work day to day?
Convincing people that they really can do things. And that's where, for me, like, I have the visual. You know, people can see I'm in a wheelchair, and then they can see my pictures. Oh, she did a ropes course. You know, holy crap, I can do that. You know, if I just have, you know, if somebody is a single, you know, below the knee amputee, then they realize, oh yeah, I could do that. You know, because we have people who have that visual of, you know, leaving my chair behind and doing something. And so I have the ability to say to people, if I can do it, you can do it. You know, yeah, your back hurts, but you can do this.
The Stand Up and Play Foundation, Karen, is so important, because, you know, just from a therapeutic standpoint, from what Anthony Netto, the founder, has educated me about, standing up for, you know, a disabled person is so crucial from a health standpoint, right?
It truly is. That's the amazing thing. I didn't realize, psychologically as well, I didn't realize that when I went to this event last year, I arrived kind of at the last minute. They put me in the Verticat, and then they played the Star Spangled Banner. And Anthony reached over and hit the button, and I stood up to salute the flag for the first time in 10 years. And that, for me, was an emotional moment that I didn't, you know, I didn't even think about. I have the possibility now to stand up. And so just from an emotional standpoint, like, I can be like everybody else. But to be in that standing position is so important for both bone density, you know, digestion. It's just, you know, for your muscle.
Circulation.
There's so many things that are so important to be standing. Our body was not meant to sit down. It's not. And so it's not healthy to sit all the time. You need to be able to stand. And rehab facilities often have the standing frames that put you in those frames, but this will actually put you into that standing position for a natural reason. You can do something normal while you're doing it, hit the ball, and then, you know, then you're good to go. You can sit back down, do, you know, go about your day.
Wow, that must have been some moment when they played the Star Spangled Banner, right? And you were standing up. I'm getting choked up just thinking about it, and I wasn't there physically to watch, but I can just imagine what an incredible moment that was for you. So talk a little bit more about your work with Stand Up and Play Foundation.
What we do is give grants of equipment to veterans or first responders that are now disabled and need to be able to take part in activities, take part in the in golfing or need standing therapy. And so they are able to then, have this equipment to use. And it's just an amazing thing to be able to give somebody something that gives them their freedom.
So, how do you think adaptive sports can continue to grow and become more inclusive?
I think that non-disabled people just need to be aware of it and need to make sure that I guess, supporting of it, whether it be, take part in a program or just know that it exists and know that disabled people also need sports and also need to be active and just make sure that, if you have a program and somebody wants to participate in it, it's not hard. Like, just ask them what they need. Don't say no. Ask them what they need. What do you need in order to be able to play baseball? What can we do for you? How can we help you? And that's it.
It's a matter of that connection and that education and letting people know of the organizations and the opportunities that are out there for disabled people. So I understand that you're putting together a chapter of Stand Up and Play in Florida.
That's right. We will be starting one just outside Clearwater in Pinellas County. And we will be the recipients of this year's grants from the Legends Golf Course and be able to set up a local chapter here. So I'll be able to hopefully play a lot more than I have been.
That would be awesome. I know while you're doing golf, scuba diving, sailing, skiing, how do you fit all these sports into your busy schedule?
It's not easy. But every one of them is something that gives me joy. And so I don't want to give up anything.
I also read where you're a mentor for what, in the legal system or?
Veterans
Yes.
court, sort of like what you picture drug court, where the people need to, they've had some extraneous circumstances in their lives, maybe gotten a DUI or gotten a drug charge because they're dealing with PTSD and not dealing with it well. And what Veterans Court does is it provides people a way to recover instead of having to just take that conviction and then having to deal with being a criminal. They're given a second chance as far as, you go to treatment, you do, you get evaluated, you do everything that you're supposed to do, you do some community service, and at the end, you're able to then get that conviction dismissed. But it's not easy. And, the veterans have to do a lot of things to prove that they are willing to get better. But if they want to do it, then it's an amazing program that you can then sort of move forward instead of just, getting a conviction and paying your fine and paying your extra insurance. You can actually move forward and I guess realize what's out there as far as having a better life and having, healing yourself instead of masking your symptoms with drugs or alcohol.
What else is out there that you yet have to do? It sounds like your day is pretty packed, but is there anything out there that, what are your goals and, you know, for the future?
I keep telling people that I think about making a bucket list, and honestly, this spring I had the opportunity to go to kite surfing. So if I would have ever made a bucket list, I wouldn't have put that on there.
That's
So
awesome.
ski season is starting, and I just got my new mono ski, so I'm going to pick that up this week and get all ready for ski season. But I'm willing to do whatever it takes to bring other people to these opportunities.
Well, Karen Atkinson, continued success, Army Captain Reserve, JAG Officer, Attorney, Board Member of the Stand Up and Play Foundation, and your work with the Stand Up and Play Foundation and all these other not-for-profits is just extraordinary. So continued success. You're a big inspiration to all, and thanks so much for joining us here in Sports Interview.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and it is my pleasure to welcome in Anthony Netto, who is a master teaching professional. He is a South African retired military veteran, and most importantly, founder of the Stand Up and Play Foundation, a nonprofit organization that works to make active standing therapy a reality for those with mobility challenges. Hey, Anthony, welcome back to Sports Interview.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you, Anne?
Great to connect with you again. And, you know, I've known you long enough to understand the tireless commitment that you and Angelica do for adaptive athletes, those with mobility challenges.
Yeah, well, you know, the issue was myself being injured and then needing helping hand, a hand up, not a hand down or a hand out. And I was obviously one of those that was usually the person who was helping. And all of a sudden I needed a little bit of help. And obviously the biggest problem was getting outdoors and having the ability to move around safely and being able to stand and hit a golf ball was our biggest challenge. We're talking 1991, the loss of my legs and the use of my legs, let's put it that way. And then I ended up 5 years later getting hit by a drunk driver as well. It caused the minimum use of my arms and hands. And thank God that came back after, you know, several years of active therapy and bit of a few prayers, definitely. But it also made me realize how important mobility was. And you don't move it, you lose it, the old saying.
That's right. And that seems to be, you know, your focus with the Stand Up and Play Foundation. But before we get into that a little bit, sure, can you tell my audience a little bit about your background? You know, where you're from, your military career? And
well, in South Africa, obviously, after you finish your school, your education, you have national service. And obviously, that obviously is not here. It's like the draft initially in the Vietnam era. Well, being South African and also holding a British passport, I had the option to leave. And we obviously had that war in Angola going on, and the Rhodesian War as well in 1979, 1980. Obviously, we had to leave. And that basically, I was thrown in the deep end. I then got injured in 91. After several years of combat, I was very lucky. One of the lucky ones to get back. But I came back with a lot of problems, and golf was a great way for me to overcome my challenges. And I was very blessed to have the golfing community at my fingertips. And also turned to teaching, and I managed to do the master's diploma with the US. And obviously my problem was, how do I get around a golf course? That was the next challenge. But we managed to do that with the invention of the Paragolfer that I co-developed. And 20 years later, we're now here in America with a product called the Verticat that we also developed and I helped co-invent with the company in called at Inspo, which is in Minnesota, St. Paul. And the company acts as a partner together with me. We've developed an awesome product that can basically help us do the job we need to do, and that's get out and get people outdoors and children outdoors without too much of an issue to adjust, because standing therapy is very important. But if you're doing it with a sliding of friction effect, that can cause more harm than good. That was the biggest challenge, to design something that would be adjustable, friendly, and within, you know, sort of under 60 seconds, if you know how. And we were able to do that. And now Stand Up and Play Foundation has a product here in America that is cheaper than the one we had from Europe, and are we just basically go around opening up chapters and giving it to our fellow wounded at no charge to them. It is a 501c3 non-salary based foundation, which I'm very pleased to say 14 years later, still no salaries are being paid. It's tough, but it's possible. And with all the help and support from the community, anything is possible. And we've given over 320 machines away over the years, and they weren't cheap. They were, you know, between $20,000 and $30,000. And now we're hoping to, obviously, with our program, make more awareness. But we've also become with the USGA. They had the third adaptive USGA Open, where we were able to, for the first time, or 2 years ago. A young man called Max, who you've also had the pleasure of meeting and interviewing. It's an awesome kid that is probably one of a typical example of what Stand Up and Play Foundation does, and that is get them back outdoors and having a new lease on life and stay healthy while you're doing it, playing sports. Golf is just one of the sports that we, obviously archery and fishing, fitness, anything to do with outdoors and standing, if you need to, well, we can do it now. And Stand Up and Play has an awesome team of volunteers around the country. And every month I get calls. And if it's possible, we start a chapter. And that's our mission, is to grow the attitude to get outdoors with your friends and family and have fun again. But don't take it sitting down, literally and figuratively.
Well, Anthony, going back, were you a golfer before you became paralyzed?
Yes. I mean, I've been playing. I was a caddy at the age of five. Didn't come from a. I'm not going to go and do the Harris bit there. We weren't from a healthy, wealthy family. We weren't a very wealthy family. I was a caddy.
Okay.
And but I loved the game and grew. At the age of 12, I was, you know, sort of a scratch golfer. We didn't have any, you know, handicaps. Probably didn't know what it was. Just you hit the ball. How many did you play? You shot four. I shot five. Okay, I owe you, you know, 10 cents. and that's my eventually, I think my, if it wasn't for the wars, I probably would have become a golf professional, playing professional. And somehow I just ended up teaching more effectively. And I've even had the, you know, the joys of teaching kids that became top golfers. And that I actually played on the tour, and I was just known to, if you have a problem, go to Anthony, you know, he can sort it out. And oh, but you're missing a leg, you're missing an arm, he'll sort you out. And then I myself eventually, being in Germany, based out of Germany, I realized there was a large community of want to be golfers, and a lot of money was easily to be made in between missions teaching golf. Especially with the generals, you got good contract.
I love it. So you were teaching.
Stopping the slice.
You were teaching, yeah, the generals how to hit a straight golf ball. Well, okay, yeah. So you were paralyzed from the waist down in 91 in a military-connected injury, and 5 years later, you were hit by a drunk driver, which you had said caused further complications.
Fractured my neck, yeah, and that caused more of a disability. And then, lo and behold, I had an issue in May 2000. I'll never forget it. I was in the on the golf course. I was on the golf course, and all of a sudden, I got an extreme vertigo, and I could hardly see anything. It was like looking through a glass that had been, you know, butter smeared on it. Totally disorientated. Not feeling very well, having issues with breathing, and they rushed me to hospital from the golf course. And 14 days later, the in Cologne, the big medical center there, specialized in neurology, that I have, which he didn't want to believe, MS. Just to sort of put a spanner in the works. So I said, okay, what does that mean? I need a wheelchair. Well, I'm already using a wheelchair. And I laughed about it, but they didn't laugh. So obviously they thought this is serious. So, okay. So it's going to slow me down. My biggest thing was make a big, a stronger and more powerful wheelchair then.
Wow.
And that was, I don't know why, it just never really hit me like maybe it should have. Maybe I was just too ignorant and stubborn to accept, you know, okay, so it's another stumbling block. Well, you've had a couple of those, and you learn that in the military, you know, you don't, you know, you lick your wounds on the go, if you're lucky. And that's the way I've always, like golf, you know, you hit a golf ball, it doesn't always go straight. Well, if you're lucky to find it, you get out of it, you know.
Just sure. Maybe, do you think your background in golf and your mental approach to golf, and you know, golf toughens you because you have to accept so many bad shots. Maybe
defeat,
you don't hit as many bad shots, but you just have to stay in the present. You always hear these professional golfers say, stay in the present. You have to forget the last bad shot. But how much do you think your golf background helped you deal with all these challenges?
I think the combination of the military training and the golf is just perfect. It's a good partnership. I say it's called a partnership without a handicap. and that's the netto way. You know, nothing's been given or handed on a silver tablet all our lives, no matter who. You come out of Africa, it's just, that's how it is. I mean, if you look at, that's why there's so many good South African golfers, maybe because we had to prove ourselves. And they're still, you know, on the top, you know, out there. And if that's a Gary Player, who's my idol, how he had those challenges that, well, he's just over 5 feet something. And, you know, he was, came in there and showed the big boys, you know, how it's done. Is still a living legend. Very blessed to know him personally, and we do with his Gary Player Foundation. We help each other, and he's helped me and our foundation with helping get a unit for the kids. And that's what it's about, you know. Don't give up. I think that's our motto, and my personal attitude is, yeah, it's not going to be easy, and you just got to find the right friends. And unfortunately, you meet a lot of crooks on the way, and that's going to happen. You just got to be, listen to my wife.
trust your wife and trust her instincts, right? Angelica has great instincts. Well, how long did it take you, once you were, you know, paralyzed without the use of your body from the waist down, to get reconnected to golf?
Oh, I was already, you know, and I believe someone told me, you remind me of Harvey Penick. I believe he gave golf lessons in a wheelchair. Didn't even know the name, by the way. We come all the way from Africa. You don't hear about those guys in those days. It took me about four years to get the first bit of prototypes out there. And then obviously relying on partners that took the money and ran, kept going. And we finally designed, as I said, the Paragolf. It became the first official, I would say, series version that was made by a company called Otto Bock in Germany, a very, very good wheelchair developing. They make the, you know, these special legs, the prosthesis called the C-leg, all that high-tech stuff, the hands. And then they also make the wheelchairs, and they got on board, and that's where the Paragolf was developed. So it took me about, I'd say, 5 years to get back into the golfing scene. For you know, 2000, we were really hitting it and making sure that it was okay. It wasn't perfect. But, 22 years later, we are now perfect. Well, when I say perfect, it can't fly and it can't swim. So we're not there yet.
But it can do everything else. But so
I can get into certain bunkers. Don't go into a pot bunker, because you can go in, but it won't get out that easy.
Obviously, when you were injured, you had obviously wait for some kind of vehicle to enable you to play golf again. Was there nothing out there, or?
Okay, there was what they call the swivel seat versions out there that caused more issues for me. And I'd seen certain guys who introduced me to that, and they all had issues with their butts, skin issues, beds. Well, we call them bed sores. It's just basically caused by friction. And they all had these problems, but they loved the game so much, and they said, well, this is how it's done. Well, I had a very young team of very fresh out of the university therapists that said, stand. And golfers do it standing up is our motto. Well, why can't we do it standing up? Because the standing frames have been around for years. They just weren't very comfortable and very adequate. So we just decided, as I said, that's where I got the group of engineers and we did the right thing and went the long way. Wasn't cheap, but it's important, you know, because if you're going to do a standing therapy, make sure there's no skin friction. And if you're going to try and hit a golf ball, the problem is hitting golf balls sitting down. And if you're just sitting in your seat right now and you just pretend you're going to do a golf swing and you can feel your butt, okay? And you'll feel how the body goes back and forth in a sideways motion. That's not healthy because your pelvis looks, you know, if you look at the pelvis, the skeleton, it looks like a set of knives. Well, that's exactly what they're doing. They a seesaw effect is causing the incision from inside and it works its way out. By the time it comes out, you've got a big problem. So the blisters and the skin tear starts from inside. Well, the blisters start from outside. So that you'll notice pretty quickly. And that's what these guys were living. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, there's still people today sitting, hitting golf balls, and they got years and years and years, they got bed sores.
Wow.
And then they cut holes in their seats and their cushions. And they think, oh, well, hey, I live for golf. You know, take my golf away. I don't want to live, or I'm probably going to die anyway. So we can do it without a different way. It's not, as I said, Stand Up and Play Foundation is there to help. Obviously, the costs, because not everybody can afford that. I mean, as I said, it's still between $20,000 and $30,000. So if we can get, you know, initially it was the idea, okay, we'd work together with the PGA, and then we introduced that to them 18 years ago, because we were already teaching our veterans with one leg and one arm or PTS. Because it was a great way of helping them. And Joe Groman, who's an award winner of the Patriots Award, National Patriots Award. I've been working with him now for many, many years. Pepper Roberts with Jack Nicklaus up in Tacoma, Washington, with Friends of the American Lake Veterans Golf Course up there in Tacoma, Washington, where Jack did an extra design. So it's been out there, you know, helping veterans, but just giving them the right equipment. And unfortunately, they had seated golf carts, which I know personally. I broke, I don't know how many clubs across not to mention about hitting my knees. It just wasn't adequate. So that's why we designed something that, obviously, necessity is the mother of all inventions. I never really thought about playing golf. I really didn't. I always thought, okay, it's good for teaching and good for hitting on the driving range, but to actually go out and play, that was brought to my attention when Gary Player, and in those days it was Prince Albert, had that event. We had a big charity event up in Monaco, and said, hey, you're invited. Who puts an invite like that down? So yeah, I was blessed to go and hit some balls in the middle of the center of Monaco on a Bordeste, where they've carried this 500-pound contraption. It was my prototype in those days. And I still remember being carried up by the Prince's team of bodyguards and everything. And I think Gary and Prince were behind me, and they were carrying me up front and, you know, carrying me up backwards. And Prince said, I'm the Prince, and I've got to walk up here. And I think Gary said something, you've got to hit a ball as far as Anthony and straight, and they'll carry you up as well. So.
I love that. What a national, an international treasure, Gary Player. No, for sure.
I've still got pictures to prove it.
Oh my God, what a great memory that is.
Mr. G, and yeah, it was. And we were very blessed. And golf, obviously, you know, with the Special Olympics, I was very blessed to form, which was never heard of in Germany, a Special Olympics golf team. And that was for the World Games in Ireland. God knows, I don't even hold me to that date, but it's a long time ago. And they didn't have one. And I was given that opportunity to do that. And within 6 months, I got a golf team together. It was probably 4.5, to be honest. And we went to Ireland, and we won gold, silver. And we even did the 9-hole with one of my – Wally, I'll never forget. Wally didn't even know what a golf ball looked like. He was a soccer fan. And I found him in a workshop that they do with the Special Olympics in Germany. They have a lot of these workshops. And I went there and I chose, I think it was six people, and everyone came back with some sort of a medal. It wasn't a participation medal. They actually won because they beat. And some of these guys have been playing 30 years. So I was very, very, very proud of my team. And someone said, you know, I couldn't believe that this person would ever be able to hit a golf ball. And that was the film team that accompanied us. And it was actually quite a tap on the back. And, you know, I realized that just keep doing it and give them the opportunity. And it's amazing what you can see. And we have obviously an awesome team here in America, you know, the Special Olympics team. And they've been around for many, many years. So our prayers and our hopes are going to be, I think, at LA 2026, right? Hopefully that the Paralympics will have at least golf, not just in the Olympics, but also have it in the Paralympics. And even if it's a demo sport, well, we're hoping now that we have enough people that are interested in playing golf, including the wheelchair division. Up to now, you know, it wasn't very popular, but thanks to Stand Up and Play, and I'll be very honest, I mean, we've done what, over, I think 400 units have opened the doors for many, more than 400 people, actually, because they share them in some locations. But I think it's opened up a whole new era. And I think the USGA, with their Adaptive Golf Open, have also proven with Max shooting 2 under par, you know, in Pinehurst. And that was the first round of golf, the first tournament that he took part in the US Adaptive Open. And that was only after being not even 4 months playing golf, obviously out of the wheelchair. I think it was important that you have to have so many countries taking part in that sport and giving them that opportunity. By then, we hope to have expanded in 14 different countries with our product. You know, we have been obviously all over Europe, even in Africa. I have several units that I donated to help the guys in the wheelchair division, because the wheelchair division is always the I don't know how to put it. It's been neglected. It has, just because of the cost. And I understand it. You know, if you could put a $30,000 or $20,000, you have a budget for that. You can send a lot of amputee golfers and, you know, missing arms around the country on that budget, instead of just having one guy in a wheelchair, you know, use that amount of money. Because, you know, their travel costs as well. And then to travel with this unit, it's not just you don't put it in your pocket, you know, and it's got to have special equipment to be, vehicles to maneuver. Just getting in an airplane to fly, it doesn't happen that way. You got to drive it halfway across the country, you know, until we have hopefully more of these units around the country.
My thanks to Anthony Netto, to Karen Atkinson, to Mike Goodsell in production, and the team at the Stand Up and Play Foundation for all you do to connect people with physical challenges to a more productive, happy life. For more information on the Stand Up and Play Foundation and how you can support this worthwhile not-for-profit, visit www.standupandplay.org. As the great Christopher Reeves once said, a hero is an ordinary individual who finds the strength to persevere and endure in spite of overwhelming obstacles. Have a great weekend. Be kind, stay safe, and I look forward to talking with you next time right here on Sports Interview with Anne LaFleur.